As the Lord, church, let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord tonight. Lord, I thank you for the power and the presence of your Spirit that we feel in this place tonight. We have a couple prayer requests here. I'd like to, Brother Roberto Vega Martinez, he's been struggling for over a year now with some health issues, and we just really need to pray that God would touch him and heal his body. Also, I brought to you last week the Seidel and the Knopp family, Terry's brother and Sister Kim's brother, Rod. They did take him off life support. He is still alive, but he's very much brain dead. And let's just pray that God would touch the family, the Knopp family, and the Seidel family, and the Waddell family. And let's take these requests before the Lord tonight. Lord, I pray right now, God, for my brother Roberto. God, Roberto has been struggling, Lord Jesus, with health issues for a year more now, God. Lord, I believe that you have a call on his life, that you have a purpose. I believe that the enemy is trying to force him, Lord Jesus, through health, God. I ask you, God, to come down right now and touch my brother. God, raise him up, heal him, and allow him to continue the purpose that you have for his life, the ministry that you have. I also ask you, Lord God, that your hand would be upon the Knopp family and the Seidel family with their brother Rod, Lord Jesus, God, he desperately needs a miracle tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon every member of Calvary Gospel Church, those that are watching online, those that are here in person. Bless this service tonight as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated tonight. It is so great to be here on a Wednesday evening. Someone asked me, it was actually Brother Rossing called me and asked me if I was going to wear a mask when I preached, and then he reminded me that he had watched the news and none of the news reporters had masks on. And I guess I feel that what I've got to say tonight is as important as what they have to say. And if the front row is not comfortable, Brother Larry, you just have to move back. I'll try not to spit your direction, all right? But we've had a great week this morning. Finally, Mariah Grace Smith came into this world about 4:32 this morning. Benjamin and Victoria and Isaiah, very proud of their young little sibling. 20 and 3/4 inches long, 8.12 pounds. I weighed that once. It's been a long time ago. Some of you weighed less than that. But anyway, mom and baby are doing very well. So continue to pray for them. We had a great weekend with Brother Morton Buster. And I just want to thank all of you for supporting his ministry. Took up a very good offering for him. I don't know the exact total, or I'd share it with you tonight, but thank you so very much. We have some giving options. You can give cgcmadison.org, click the give link. I think we probably know a lot of this by now. Mail it to the church here, 5301, or you can text to give, tithes, and offering. This Friday, July 17th, at around 9 p.m., the jungle of the Serengeti will come alive in the parking lot. We will be showing the movie Lion King. And so if you've never seen that or would like to bring your family to see that, that will be in the parking lot at somewhere around 9 o'clock-ish. And then next Friday, July 24th, we will have a parking lot prayer meeting, much like we had last Friday night. And I want to thank Sister Linda Brown for her efforts in this with our prayer team, Brother Jerry Simmons, And I really appreciate, I didn't want to do it at first outdoors. I'm like, why do you want to be outdoors when you got nice air conditioning inside here? But I don't know, there's just a freedom. I don't know if it's just because of the sky and it's kind of feel like your prayers when you pray, there's no limit to them. But so that'll be next Friday night, July 24th. And it's good to see the Solbergs here tonight. They're right over Rick and Nicole and the family, and great to see you all. But I'm excited. We're going to continue. I want to try to preach a little shorter tonight. I don't know about you, but I had to wear a mask. I had some doctor's visits today and such, and it's hard. I struggle having to breathe through one of them things. My wife's pointing at something. What am I supposed to be? Oh, look at that. Halfway through, I would have got the... Oh, give it up for our sound guys back there. Oh, boy. Yeah, you'd have got me about halfway through. I'd have looked back there, and I would have just started laughing, and everybody would have wondered what to... So anyway, that's a change in perspective, by the way, when you look at it. We're going to have part two of our series, Change in Perspective, a new way of looking at life's troubles. Now, we've been talking about trials, and we've been talking about faith and such. And Sunday morning, it's going to be a bit more evangelistic. We're going to talk about how important it is to continue. Just because we're in the middle of a big mess doesn't mean God stopped working, and it doesn't mean that the dreams that God has given us all of a sudden no longer exist. I believe that what we're going through right now is weaning out, whittling, or separating those people that firmly believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. God's going to use. But there's a separation going on right now. And sometimes maybe as you look at life's troubles, you may ask yourself the question that if I'm a Christian and I'm serving God, how come my life isn't getting easier? It only seems to be getting harder. Most of us believe, and we've always wanted our lives to glorify God. We've wanted to live a life that shows that God's infinite power and worth, so that God gets all the praise. The reason I feel that sometimes God doesn't do what God desires to do is that we always try to want to hog the glory. And God says, I'm not going to share my glory with anyone. If I perform a miracle, I'm going to be the one that gets the glory, not humanity. I don't have the ability to heal anyone. I don't have the ability to give anyone the Holy Ghost. I can't repent for anyone. I can't give them the Holy Ghost. The only thing I can do is take them down in a water baptism in the name of Jesus. That's my responsibility, other than preaching and trying to lead you closer to the kingdom of God. The Bible is filled with stories of people who God used to show his power. And reading these stories, sometimes my heart says, Lord, use me for your glory. Show your power through me. We talked about this last week. I want to be like a David or a Daniel. And perhaps tonight you can relate. And perhaps tonight you hope that God would use you and you would be his one exception, that I will use you without any testing or without any trials. But the problem with that is I can't find anyone that God has ever used without testing them. Because, you see, God is concerned about what's on the inside of you more than he's concerned about what you look like on the outside. In case you haven't wondered that, God says, I will use you, but the only way I'm going to use you is I'm going to test you. And when God used people to show his power, he used trials. I don't know why he decided or chose to do this, other than I do understand that trials and tests have a way of moving us from an area of comfort to an area of discomfort. Trials and testing has a way of proving to us just exactly how faithful we are. We just completed a study of Job, Joseph, and Jonah, and we could go into the Old Testament and read about Daniel and Moses and David, and go into the New Testament and talk about Peter and Paul, and all of these people had major trials. Most of the people, we remember them because they faced trials. We love to tell the story of David because we want to talk about Goliath, because Goliath was a giant that he faced, and many of us are facing giants in our lives tonight. But had they never faced a major trial, had David never faced a Goliath or never faced a lion or a bear, we probably would know very little about David. You see, this has massive implications for our lives today, because if we desire to be used by God for his glory, last time I checked, God hasn't changed his strategy any at all. As he worked in the Old Testament, he worked in the New Testament, and as he worked in the New Testament, he has worked through every century, every millennial, every generation of humanity. God still uses trials. God still uses storms. And unfortunately, we still have to pass the test. So, part of our reality check as a Christian, reviewing from part one on this, as I said, God never looks down at the trials that we're going through and says, oops, I think I overdid it on this one. I think I gave Job just a little bit too much. I think maybe Jonah wasn't quite prepared to get thrown off of that boat. God never looks at humanity, never looks at us as his children and says, oops, I think I boo-booed here. You see, God is in control. This is a part that we struggle with. God is not just in control of our trials, but he desires to be in control of our lives. And if we allow him to be in control of every area of our life, then if he's in control of our trial, we shouldn't have to fret and worry as we go through a trial. But yet we still battle God for control. So trials, we have to understand, trials are all part of how God works. That was our number one point last week. Trials are all part of how God works. The quicker we understand this, the better we understand this, the better we're going to be as we go through trials in our lives. Understand number two, trials put God's power on display. When God allows you and I to step into a trial, it lets me know that he's getting ready to work for his glory. Because how I come through that trial is going to determine how much glory God gets. And God doesn't want for us to just crash and burn. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like, God, why are you just letting me crash and burn here? God has no desire that we fail. God desires that we come through whatever we're going through victorious. God desires tonight that his church come through this mess we're going through right now victoriously. Understand something. Victorious doesn't mean massively huge to God. I think Gideon is a perfect example of that, where Gideon says, we're gonna come through this with 25,000. God bumped him down to 300, lest any man get glory. So God's not looking at Calvary Gospel Church tonight saying, well, what am I going to do? How are we going to work this out? They got this ordinance now in Dane County that people got to wear masks. My people aren't showing up for church. I just can't do big things because I don't have a big crowd there tonight. That's not how God works. God doesn't care. I mean, he cares, but it doesn't matter to God how many people are here tonight. What matters to God is whether or not we're willing. That's what matters to God. Trials prepare us for service. If you want to be used by God in a big way, and you got big visions in your life, then plan on big problems. Okay? You know, the bigger the house, the more maintenance. There's not a whole lot of maintenance to a cardboard box. But boy, you get a 10,000 square foot house and there's a lot of maintenance. So life is not really any different. The more we engage, listen here, the more we engage in battle with the enemy, the bigger our battle becomes, the bigger our trials are going to become, because God works that way. If you want to be used in a big way, be prepared to pass a lot of little tests. So many times we want to just skip by all the little stuff and we want to just jump right into the main event. But God says, no. If you want to be used in a big way, you got to be faithful in a little way. Trials sanctify us. Picking up from last week, this is where we dropped off at this point. And Romans 5, 3 and 5 is the last scripture I read, and I'd like to read that as we get started here. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Listen, church, in order for us to make it to the end of all of this, we're going to have to endure. I didn't make the game plan. I didn't write the book. I want to make it to the end. I want to make it to the end. So that means if I'm going to make it to the end, then there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to endure, because we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. But just follow what Paul's goes on. He says, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us into shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So picking up from last week, point number four, trials sanctify us. Trials sanctify us. Now this is God's perspective. I don't know why God determined that trials could be a successful way to sanctify us, but I don't know about you, but when I have a trial, I have a tendency to get closer to God. Sometimes I get frustrated in the trial. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you that I don't always handle trials real well. You can ask my wife on that. Sometimes she has to remind me my own preaching. But I don't always deal with them the way that we ought to deal with them. And when things don't go as planned, you get frustrated, and ministries, I see ministries start to struggle, and you get bogged down and struggling with some health issues and all of these things, and I begin to realize in all of this just how impatient of a person that I really am. Anybody here ever struggle with patience? Thank you for being honest tonight, because I tell you what, impatience. I believe that scripture, in your patience possess ye your soul. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth. So I didn't realize how impatient of a person that I am. And that trials don't always cause us to sin by being impatient. Trials don't always cause us to perhaps get angry and sin or complain. The Israelites were specialists at the complaining of things. But perhaps when you look at it, you get upset at your kids. You probably blow out in another area of your life that maybe you yell at the dog or you kick the dog or you get mad at other drivers as you're driving down the road and all of these things that happen. We don't feel very sanctified in the process, but God uses trials to sanctify us. And how he uses that to sanctify us is he takes that trial and that trial reveals to us our weaknesses. You see, sanctification is a cleansing process. If we want to be more like Christ, we have to deal with this as Christ would deal with it. Trials will reveal your inner weaknesses. Trials will reveal, and this is how God uses them, they reveal what's really inside of our heart. I talked about this a month or so ago about issues in the heart concerning situations and things going on in our world today. But apart from that, as we look at ourselves as Christians, trials will reveal to us, and God will use our trials to reveal that sin that's hidden deep down within us that we don't want to let go. This is what we're encountering right now as a nation. Our trials, as what we're going through with COVID and with racism and all of these issues, they're beginning to reveal the true condition of the hearts of humanity. Not just in the United States. You see this happening all over our world. Listen, church, only once we see our own sins, can we allow God to begin to work inside of us? This is where fasting comes in so prevalent. Because you see, fasting, I'm just going to be honest, okay? Fasting doesn't help my prayer life. Now, you may say, well, it sure helps mine. Well, I'm glad it does. But what fasting does for me is fasting kills my flesh. And as a result of fasting killing my flesh, then my flesh begins to subject itself to the Spirit. And then when the Spirit begins to take control in my heart, then the prayer becomes a successful weapon. Other than that, I'm just being honest here. This is where we struggle in all of this. This is why sometimes we get stuck in trials and tests and we never pass them and move on to the next level. Is because God says you've got stuff inside of your heart that you will not release. You might be sitting here tonight and you might be saying, well, Pastor, you know, maybe you do, but I don't. Well, you might have some pride issues if that's what you're thinking. Pride is a real hard one to root out. Bitterness is another hard one to root out. You ever just get frustrated? Maybe a family member, you got bitterness towards a family member. You see, trials, if you're constantly going through one thing after another, you need to find out. You need to do a little bit of a heart check, and say, okay, God, I'm having a whole lot of problems continually. What is it inside of me that I'm not seeing or I'm not getting rid of? Because I want to go a little bit of a space without having trials or tests all the time. You see, it's been said, and I've said this so many times as of late, the greatest battle that we will ever fight is a battle within our own heart. So many times we focus on everything that's going on outside of the church. We look at everything politically and we think, well, you know, we're going to be fighting this and we're going to be fighting this and we're going to be fighting this. I think the Lord looks at us and says, listen, the greatest battle that I'm having with my church is the heart of my church. Because if we fix what's inside of here, then everything else out there will look and appear a whole lot different to us. You see, in all of this, trials force us to depend on God. This is God's perspective in this, because you see, God understands that humanity has issues with Him. It's kind of quiet in here tonight, but it's the truth. Humanity has issues with God. We are part of humanity. And sometimes our flesh has issues with God. We spend a lot of time dependent upon our own abilities. We have talents. We have abilities. This is why it's very dangerous when God blesses you as an individual that you think because God's blessing you that God is favoring what you're doing. God's a principled God. I could be an atheist and pay my tithes, and God would honor my paying of tithes. So just because you pay your tithes and God blesses you doesn't mean that God is approving of what's in your heart. Because God's just honoring His principles. And trials force us. The greatest battle that's waged every day for the glory of God, as I said, it's not the battle around us. It's the battle within us, and our sinful hearts, our flesh, our humanity does not want to relinquish control. And trials are God's tool to break our dependence upon ourselves to where we can learn to trust in Him and Him alone. I struggle with this sometimes. I've always felt from a teenager that God gave me a brain to use it. I don't need to call my pastor to ask him what color car I should buy. I buy what I can afford. That's how it works. That's how I think. Don't call me and ask me about what color car you should buy, okay? You determine that with you and your wife or however. I don't care. Flip a coin. It doesn't matter to me. You know, you buy what you can afford. And make sure you buy one that doesn't break down all the time so we have to come pick you up. That might help too. I'm just saying, if you're going to think the process through, you know. But I've always said, you know what, God's given me a brain. Use it. But sometimes we take that mentality and we use that same mentality to push God right out of our lives. And when we're in a mess and God's saying, well, here I am, I'm right here. I got an answer for you. And we're like, well, God gave me a brain. God's saying, you know what? Time out. Just listen to me a minute. Stop your stubbornness. You see, God, our sinful hearts, we don't want to relinquish control of our lives. I've looked at my life at times and I'm like, how in the world did you get yourself into so many messes? You ever think of that? You know why you get yourself into messes? Because you stop allowing God to control. Because God won't allow you to get into all of that mess without Him being in it. God controls our trials. Trials and weaknesses keep us, church, from stealing God's glory. We've got to make it clear that God alone deserves the recognition and the honor. So God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:28, 29, and 31. You see, also, trials show others that God is dependable. One of the greatest witnesses that I've ever been able to have is to share with other people how dependable God has been in my life. I could go through circumstance and trial after trial. But as a church goes through trials, understand something. Other people are watching you. Other people are watching you. They're watching to see how we respond in faith. We're really good sometimes at telling other people, you just need to have faith, brother. You just need to have faith. But when that trial comes to your front door, it's a whole lot harder to say, well, you just need to have faith. That's where our flesh begins to come in and we try to solve it ourselves. You see, having peace in the midst of comfort is normal. But having peace in the midst of a trial isn't always normal. Trials give us the opportunity to speak about the hope that you and I have in Jesus Christ. If we complain or we have a bad attitude when we're facing trials, we begin to destroy or forfeit our opportunity to speak on the greatness of the God that we serve. God entrusts us with trials so that we can be a light to a very, very dark world. And church, I'm looking at this whole mess we're going through and say, God, please help us not to waste opportunities. God is giving us opportunities right now that we have never, ever had before. It's easier to talk to people. I've had more easy conversations talking to people about God than I have ever had in my life. 1 Peter 1:3-15 says, even if I should have suffered for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. You see, trials show us and others that God has an infinite value. I think one of the biggest struggles today that I see and read is people no longer see a value in God. You know why they don't see a value in God? Because we haven't shown them that God has value. I'm saying this, the church world in general, not just Calvary Gospel Church, but the church world in general has done a miserable failing job of trying to prove to the world that God is valuable. Because if we don't value God, if we don't honor God, how do we expect the world to be able to honor God? And as we go through trials, or we lose our peace, we lose our joy, other people are watching. I just talked with a brother this past week, and he said, you know what? He said, I've got off all of social media. I can't deal with it anymore. This is not a bash, okay? I don't want to get into all of that. I said, I've been off. I don't know what's going on in social media, and I don't really care anymore. I know I probably should, but I just simply don't. And he started to say, you know, I've seen more bickering among Christians than I've ever seen before. He said, when I say Christians, he was referring to Calvary Gospel Church Christians. He said, I see people on Facebook make a statement. Somebody else will come back and just like chop their head off. We got to think about that. And I'm like, I wonder what God thinks of all of this. You know, and what bothers me most is, what kind of example are we, what kind of example are we giving to each other? And then what kind of example are we going to give to the world if we can't even talk about things in a Christian manner? We can do better than this, folks. I'm not trying to just this is all said in love. I'm not trying to beat anybody down here or anything, but just if you were addressing Jesus, would you talk to him that way? Why do we feel like we can talk to each other and just trash talk one another then? We're supposed to be Christians. And you know what? What does Christian mean? Christ-like. Right? So you say, well, Jesus went around and called people, oh, you generation of vipers. Understand something. He was God in the flesh and you're not. He was crucified on Calvary, rose from the dead. You didn't. So if I got to go into any further explanation, I'll talk with you after service. But trials are an opportunity for reward. I don't know about you, but I'm missing heaven. I think about this more now than I probably ever thought about it. There is a reward at the end of this, Elder Caskey. This doesn't just end with me dying and being put in a pine box and buried under the ground in some cemetery. This whole journey for us ends in heaven. Sometimes I think we look at all of this and we're totally not even thinking about what's waiting for us at the end, for being faithful, for being holy, for being sanctified, for being purified. You see, God entrusts us, church. We are his bride. And he entrusts us as a church with trials, and those trials and tests, they're really a gift from God, because that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we mature. If we respond to the trials in faith and holiness, we can have joy in the fact that this trial isn't just going to go to waste, that I'm actually storing up treasures in heaven. If we could stand. Sister Fiona, if you can come back. Trials. God uses trials a lot of times to sharpen us and hone us in spiritual warfare. When life and ministry are carrying the gospel, when we're carrying this gospel into a dark world, it's not going to come without opposition. And we're entering into Satan's strongholds, and Satan will never go down without a fight. Satan wants to discourage us so that we give up. He'll attack our health. He'll attack our family's health. He will send all kinds of trials on his own. He will distract us, cause us to stray, keep our eyes on things we shouldn't. If you're getting bombarded with trials, take heart. It just may be because Satan's not happy with your life or your ministry. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And as we close out this two-part series, our last point as we end this service is trials oftentimes are used for discipline. Look at us as individuals. When I look at myself, the first thing that I look at when I go through a trial is I want to look at my heart. I I want to examine my heart. As a loving Father, God wants to restore our fellowship with Him. Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any grievous way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. How can we endure with joy in our trials? How can we endure with joy going through all of these things, situations that we're going through? How can we find peace in a world of turmoil? Very simply. Two simple words. Change perspective. Start looking at things the way God looks at things. And if we understand how God thinks, how God operates, that He's using trials, circumstances, situations, tests, whatever we want to call them, to show His glory in our lives. We can make it through this, church. You can make it through this, whatever it may be. And we cannot allow all of this to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. We're going to talk about this and step into this on Sunday morning. But I just want to open up this altar, since we're all, most of us have masks on for social distancing, whatever it may be. I mean, I just want to open up this altar as a chance to pray. And I want us to pray personally tonight. Can we do that? I want us to look inside our own hearts. How are we thinking? As a man thinketh, and I understand there's the heart and the mind are one and interchangeable when God speaks about that. Am I struggling? Is this trial I'm going through, is it something that I'm causing? Just for feeling, you can go ahead and sing tonight.
From the